America is predicated on the premise that our rights come from God. Even if many of today's intellectuals dismiss God, still the founders said that our rights do come from the Creator. During the Cold War, the Congress added the words "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance, and they adopted as our national motto, which is still our national motto, "In God we trust." Now, some today just poo-poo such posturing as part of the Red Scare, concerns about the Soviet Union trying to take over as much as they could. Well, there's a new movie out that's related in some ways to the Cold War. It's by Christopher Nolan. It's called Oppenheimer, on the father of the atomic bomb. Well, Dr. Paul Kanger has written an article related to Oppenheimer, or using the movie as a springboard for his article. Dr. Kanger teaches history at Grove City College, as well as political science. He's written several best-selling books, including God and Ronald Reagan and The Crusader, Ronald Reagan and the Cold War. Dr. Kanger also writes many articles, as seen in the American Spectator and other outlets. The film Oppenheimer became a springboard for Dr. Kanger to write an article on remembering the other father of the bomb, Edward Teller. And in fact, we'll link to his article. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back to the program. Always love to have Dr. Paul Kanger as a guest. Dr. Kanger, it's great to have you back on. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's always good to be with you, Jerry. Always enjoy your show.
Sure. Well, you know, before we get into the meat of the discussion, which is about Oppenheimer and then Edward Teller, isn't it good for people to remember there really was a concern back in the 1950s? Now, of course, you know, Senator McCarthy blew it by overstating things, but there was a real problem. Wasn't there a real issue where the Soviet Union, hey, they just wanted to take over the world, including the United States, if they could have?
Well, yeah, and the fact, the closing lines of the Communist Manifesto, everybody remembers the phrase, you know, workers of the world unite, right? World. But it also says we have a world to win, a world to win. And the goal of communism was always to be global. In fact, you know, that the Soviets quickly set up the Bolsheviks right in the middle of the Russian Civil War in March 1919, something called the Comintern, the Communist International. It was headquartered in Moscow. And that would be kind of the conductor of the global Marxist symphony. Every country would have one communist party that would be under the direction of Moscow, and they would have a different secretariat or contact in Moscow, and vice versa. In fact, it was in America just 6 months later, not even 6 months later, well, I guess about 6 months later, September 1919 in Chicago, the Communist Party USA was formed. And the first thing they did was they reported to Moscow. And we even had at that point our president, Woodrow Wilson, who was, you know, widely known as a liberal, the progressive's progressive, which he was. But Wilson, you know, knew what was going on with the communists. And he said, you know, these people are barbarians. They're savages. You know, liberals, progressives shouldn't lay with the Bolsheviks, because these guys want to take over the world. They are brutes. They're savages. They're barbarians. And yeah, for a while there in the Cold War, Jerry, we had Democrats and Republicans alike who were united in understanding that American communists were took literal sworn loyalty oaths to the Soviet Union. So, you know, McCarthy understood that, and a lot of other people understood that back in the day, which is why we had groups like, you know, for a long time, the Democrat-headed House Committee on Un-American Activities. Because we knew that this was indeed a very real threat to the United States of America.
And how about just a real quick comment, because we're not going to focus the whole thing on this, but the God factor is huge, right? I mean, the Soviet Union started with the premise that there is no God, and that is so contrasted with America's foundation.
Well, that's right. In fact, when Congress called to testify in the United States, they called people like William Z. Foster, one of the first heads of Communist Party USA, who, by the way, was a founding board member of the ACLU. And one of the things Congress asked him was, hey, can you be a member of the Communist Party and be a Christian, be a believer? And Foster said, well, you know, to be clear, I don't know why you would believe in God and want to be a member of a communist party. I mean, we preach and teach in communism that their religion is the opiate of the masses. Why would you want to be a Christian and be a communist? I said, but I suppose maybe you could join the party and still have some religious scruples, but you ought to be in the process of liquidating those religious superstitions, because you just wouldn't be of any use to the party and vice versa if you believed in God. So yeah, that was the understanding all along. I mean, you were to be an atheist if you were to be a communist. That was the way it was supposed to be. Most people understood that.
One of your books, and we've discussed this in the past, but the Pope and the President deals with the Cold War and how Ronald Reagan and John Paul II helped to coordinate efforts against the Soviet Union and their attempts to take over the world. But you've got about, I think it's about 100 pages or so in that book dealing with the Soviet Union's long war against God and belief in God. So now let's shift gears and talk specifically on Oppenheimer. And I don't even know if you've seen the movie. I'm debating whether I should see the movie. I'm so interested in things about history, but I kind of don't want to support this guy that apparently was a communist sympathizer on the one hand. And then also you've written this article about Edward Teller, who has been forgotten. There's kind of a piece of forgotten history, and surely this was not a man that had communist sympathy. So wax eloquent on this subject.
Well, I shall try. But I'm in the same boat as you. I haven't seen the movie Oppenheimer yet. Now, Christopher Nolan, the director, I like and I respect. But I'm afraid to see the movie, because I'm afraid in part to see what it says about Edward Teller. And I know the truth about Oppenheimer. And Oppenheimer was a communist, at least at one point. And now, whether or not he actually joined the party, that's always been a subject for debate. We're not totally sure. And it's a big deal whether they joined the party because, circling back to what I said a few minutes ago, in the 1930s, which is when he would have joined if he joined, and his brother joined, Oppenheimer's brother joined, you swore an oath. It said, I pledge myself at all times to remain a defender of the Leninist line of the party, the only line that ensures the triumph of Soviet power in the United States, unquote. They wanted to create what Langston Hughes, this civil rights poet that's read in all the public schools in America today, said, called a USSA, a USSA instead of USSR. So put one more S in the USA, we'll make it Soviet when we take over. They called it a Soviet America. So if Oppenheimer was a party member, that meant that he had dual loyalties, to the U.S., but above all, and really even more so to the USSR. So that's why this mattered. And people might ask, well, okay, but I mean, still, he could have built a bomb, right, in the 1940s as a loyal American in order to counter Nazi Germany. Well, yeah, he could have. But then after the war, I mean, he might have been devoted enough to share the secrets with the Soviets. That was a legitimate concern. Now, did he do that? I don't think we have proof that he ever did, Jerry, that he ever did. But people like Edward Teller, who was the father of the hydrogen bomb, the fusion bomb, the thermonuclear bomb after World War II, which was tested in 1952. Oppenheimer was the founder of the fission bomb, the atomic bomb, what was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Edward Teller was a Hungarian and an anti-communist, a conservative. And he and others understood that if Oppenheimer was a loyal communist, especially to the Soviet Union, that was a major security risk. And we should be concerned about that. And maybe he shouldn't be engaged in more atomic research post-World War II. It's a very, very legitimate point. And yet the left has vilified Edward Teller over it, and told all of us in the case of Oppenheimer, oh, you don't need to worry about that. You're just a bunch of McCarthyite, red under every bed, paranoiacs. Get out of here. But they're wrong. It's something to legitimately be concerned about.
That's interesting. By the way, let me just add one point of history that, maybe like a nuanced part of this whole thing. the left, no question, in the 20s and 30s, they were wholesale, you know, backers of the USSR. I mean, even the left here in America. You can see this in the example of Roger Baldwin, the founder of the ACLU. He even said in the 1930s, when he was 51 years old, communism is the goal. But in 1939, when Hitler and Stalin made this, you know, pact together to basically carve up Poland, and this is, you know, was, you know, an instrumental pact in the, you know, toward the creation of, or the starting of World War II. So anyway, then even, you know, some of the communists, you know, they were like, wait a minute, if Stalin is making an agreement with Hitler, then Stalin's no good. And so, for example, mentioned the ACLU earlier. The ACLU actually purged from their leadership members of the Communist Party in the 1940s. Now, later in the 1960s, I think they went back and they said, oh, we apologize for all that. But I mean, you know, you're totally right. It was a big, big deal. And today the leftists, you know, make it out like, oh, this was all just some big red scare. It was all nothing.
No, in fact, people like Roger Baldwin, now Baldwin, the founder of the ACLU, along with Harry Ward, the Methodist pastor known as the Red Dean of the communist movement, you know, they were really the two founders, and Dean Harry Ward was completely compromised, but Roger Baldwin wrote a book in 1929 called Liberty Under the Soviets. That's the founder of the ACLU, but he came to learn that indeed these people had dual loyalties, and so at one point Roger Baldwin indeed made ACLU board members take a loyalty oath, and a lot of them screamed bloody murder because he figured out that wow, it really is true. they actually are loyal to the Soviet Union. Now, he remained a leftist, a liberal, but you know, kind of chastened. He came to understand that. And then when a lot of them learned, of course, you know, after World War II, that American communists genuinely would spy, that they would serve the Soviet, the Rosenbergs, for example, the way that Stalin somehow got the bomb, amazingly, in 1949, way before we thought it was possible, was that he had Americans, including the Rosenbergs, helping him, betraying the United States in the atomic bomb project. So you have to throw all of that into the Oppenheimer story. And that's not a story of red under every bed paranoia. That's a story of a country in real time that's learning, wow, we have people here, Communist Party supporters, Soviet supporters, who are willing to actually sell the bomb to Stalin.
Wow. That is amazing.
A big deal.
Yeah, that is amazing. Okay, we have 1 minute left. Go ahead and just talk about Edward Teller for the remaining minute.
Yeah, if people can check it out. So I wrote on this for the American Spectator. It's at spectator.org. It's called Edward Teller, Remembering the Father of the Bomb, the Other Father of the Bomb. And I talk about a deathbed interview that I did with him July 15th, 2003, 20 years ago. And for people of this show, Jerry, they'll be especially interested to hear about my discussions with Teller about God. You know, that was really quite fascinating.
So he had become a believer
again and again. Well, he had not. But, you know, here he was alone on his deathbed, a man, an ethnic Jew who had never really believed in Judaism or God at all. And he and I are talking, you know, in these final hours of his life, well, final weeks of his life,
wow,
about a creator, about God. I think it was really something, and it was really something for me personally to experience and witness.
And we're out of time now, and I'm sure more details can be found in the article, plus also with the Crusader, Ronald Reagan, and the Cold War. Dr. Paul Kanger, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. We'll link to your article.
Hey, thanks. Take care.